that validates so many of the warnings, so many of the messages that I have made pleading with people in this ministry to take the Lord Jesus Christ seriously. On January 13th, 2025, while searching through these thousands of recordings that I had made to people, putting them in these 20 some odd categories that I've created, I came across this message that I made to Grant. And when I realized that he was the basketball player story I had told, I decided to look Grant up and see what was going on with him today, whatever happened with him. Did he end up going into NBA or did he not? When I typed in his name, I was shocked. And I found out that he is the star of the show, The Bachelor, for the year 2025. My dear brothers and sisters, today's recording, I think, is the most difficult one for me to share for a number of reasons. Number one, it involves a recording, a series of recordings and messages that I made with a person back in 2017 who has since become a worldwide celebrity. Number two, because it is very shameful, even for my ministry, to acknowledge something like this happened. If you look on the internet every once in a while, you'll see some church or some minister wanting to put forth the fact that they have led a celebrity to Christ. Perhaps they baptized that celebrity and that celebrity found what they believe to be Christ at their church. And this is held up as a very credible reason why others should follow Jesus Christ, because after all, this celebrity accepted Christ. And over the years, sometimes I have reflected on the ministry that I had with Grant Ellis when I have told the story about a person who was well on their way to becoming an NBA professional basketball star. And that this person, already being a Christian, came across my videos and my ministry and began watching them and began to be challenged by the cross-carrying, self-denying, world-hating, faith-walking Christianity that I preach. And this gentleman, Grant, began to be convicted about the message, so much so that he got to the point where he was considering giving up the NBA career that was now knocking on his door, despite the fact that his whole life so far had been aimed at that goal, and that his entire family was rooting for him, supporting him, and hoping that this would be the case. And I was so honored to use that example a few times over the years as an example of how the Lord Jesus Christ had used the ministry, the anointing of his words in my mouth, to have a result like that. I found that to be remarkable. Today, I share this with you approximately a month and some change after I first found what was devastating news to me about Grant today, for my own good humiliation and for the warning that this represents. This is an important message to share that validates so many of the warnings, so many of the messages that I have made pleading with people in this ministry to take the Lord Jesus Christ seriously. On January 13th, 2025, while searching through these thousands of recordings that I had made to people, putting them in these 20-some-odd categories that I've created, I came across this message that I made to Grant. And when I realized that he was the basketball player story I had told, I decided to look Grant up and see what was going on with him today, whatever happened with him. Did he end up going into NBA or did he not? When I typed in his name, I was shocked. And I found out that he is the star of the show The Bachelor for the year 2025. And I sunk into a depression. I was so hurt to see it. I couldn't believe it. It's like you see something and you say, yeah, there's no way this is what you think it is. So now I'm just going to read to you the email that I wrote to Grant upon finding this discovery. And I reminded him of an email that he had sent to me in one of our exchanges and pointed out how eerily prophetic, looking back, his email and what God was speaking to him about at that time now becomes. And we traded several emails and a few recordings back and forth in that day. And Grant was very gracious. He was very thankful. And he actually asked me in one of the emails if I could mentor him. But unfortunately, at this point in time, I was receiving so many emails, as you can hear in a few of the messages. I was receiving so many emails, there was no way I could get to all of them. And I was quickly becoming overwhelmed, being the only person in this ministry, one of me and thousands of them. And I didn't have the time, nor did I feel the call at this point in time to be able to take on a one-on-one. That also broke my heart when I saw what had finally become of the condition of his soul and the condition of his faith. Now, in this first email that I shared with him, I believe the Lord allowed something providentially to happen that morning that seemed to point me to a passage of scripture indicating a hope that he may return to Jesus Christ after falling flat on his spiritual face through this situation he's going through now. Either way, this is a very, very serious warning that shows how often the devil, who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, who prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, how often he succeeds. All the warnings in this ministry, more importantly, all the warnings in God's word. Think of the tailors of the world. Those warnings are not there meant to be an interesting, titillating, stimulating Bible study. They are meant to shake you to your core and put the fear of God in you. To live with the fear of God before your eyes continually. I hope and pray a situation like this reminds all of us, just like I pleaded in the Taylor Meitzner, Taylor Noel video. If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. And we are in those days when the Bible says many will fall. Do you see how real the Bible is? Can you see how real these warnings are? Can you see how God cannot be mocked? The day after I found out about Grant being the 2025 Bachelor and seeing the filthy video of him kissing up being very sensual with all these women and all this worldliness, trying to contrast that with the heart that he demonstrated to me back in 2017 was absolutely shocking. And so I wrote to him the next day. Now, mind you, I am pretty aware of the fact that when you're on a TV show like this, they place a gag order on you. So even though the show is going on right now, the result of the show and who he married or didn't marry has already happened, but he will be under severe, severe gag order contract, preventing him from answering any outside emails. So I knew before I sent this email to him that he would not be able to reply no matter what. But nonetheless, I felt the need to say this to him. And I would say this to anyone following this. Brother Grant, I was in a state of almost depression all day yesterday after coming across my recording to you back in 2017 and your eerily prophetic message to me below. I was curious as to whatever happened to your basketball career, so I looked you up, and what I saw shocked me and caused me to hang my head low the rest of the day in sorrow. Then I went on to explain to him what happened that led me to believe in a rather remarkable way that the Lord is likely calling him back to himself. And after I share that with him, I said, "Brother, this is not going to be easy. I told you in another email," and this was an email that we exchanged back in 2017, "that Satan was going to test you in your desire to do God's will. You have gone a long way from, quote, home, where once you wanted to do God's will over all of yours in this life. You must return to God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and flee from all of the world and its lusts and its pleasures and its deceptions. The choice is yours, but I know that God is calling you back to him. Quote, he who has been forgiven little loves little. Now there is much to be forgiven, and there is much for you to love him for when he does. Surely you know there is no way," in all capital letters, "God can bless this event in your life, Grant." And I'm speaking of whatever would result from the bachelor up to and including any marriage relationship that he may have put together as a result of this. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. This is going to end in disaster, and it's going to be awfully painful. I am reaching out to you in the love of Christ still for you." James 5:19-20. "My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins." This is one of the emails that Grant sent to me on September 11th, 2017. The subject he writes, which is, again, you'll find to be very eerily prophetic, is Adam and Eve's original sin. "Brother Michael, you sent me a voice message the other day and made me realize a lot of things about my life and walk with God. I have been asking God to show me if he wants me to continue with basketball. And he has shown me that my reason for playing is not to glorify him, but to go outside of his will and look to the world. This is something I wrote when he opened my eyes to look into the book of Genesis. And I realized that I was doing the exact same sin that led to the fall of man. Adam and Eve's original sin. The Lord God gave Adam and Eve everything they needed to live, to eat, and be in peace. But when the serpent tempted them in the Garden of Eden, they took it upon themselves to satisfy their need because they saw that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was good and satisfying. Genesis 3, chapter 6. As soon as they ate the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, they saw they were naked, signifying indeed the fall of man. Adam and Eve, seeing they were naked, took it upon themselves to clothe their own body and to take it upon themselves to cover their shame when God originally intended them to have no shame and let him provide everything that he needed for them in their life. God's original plan was for man to trust him. In everything that they do, to not make decisions based on pleasure or success, but to let God... Oh, I'm so sorry, brothers and sisters. To not make decisions based on pleasure or success, but to let God provide everything in life that you need because he knows what's best for you. Satan's plan is to show man that they can take matters into their own hand and seek their own happiness, whether it be through wealth or pleasure or anything that is outside of God's will. The original sin of mankind was to go against God's will and decide to let the devil tempt him or her into making decisions for themselves, to satisfy flesh instead of living in the garden where God provided everything that man needs to live and prosper and to look for him to meet all of their needs. I cut off his email at this point. This is the part of his email that I had quoted to him. And then I said to him, as you know, I reached out to you yesterday, Grant. Then this is today's devotional, just before I sent you this email. The devotional email is by a gentleman named William Secker in 1660, which was compiled by Grace Jims. And the title is, No Wonder If Satan Gets Into the Saddle. The scripture he quotes is 1 Thessalonians 5:22, avoid every kind of evil. He who now gives way to the least sin may yet be given up to the greatest sins. We are never far enough from lust while we are on the earth, or near enough to Christ while we are out of heaven. Oh, stand far off from the devil's mark, unless you would be hit by his arrows. The drawing near to the appearance of evil is the first step to the accomplishment of the most enormous evil. A spark will easily catch a box of tinder on fire. Little streams will find a passage to the great sea. Christian reader, why should you venture on slippery places when you can scarcely stand upon the firmest ground? Who will pity that man whose house is blown up with gunpowder if he stores it in the chimney corner? Such is the monstrous wickedness of men, that though the streams and currents of their own lusts carry them too swiftly already, yet they hoist up sails to catch the devil's winds. Brothers and sisters, you cannot imagine how appropriate this was after having just the day before come across he and I's exchanges, and then me discovering and seeing what I saw on the introduction video to The Bachelor. This was just shocking. It seems like a message a day late and a dollar short. Take warning from it. Take warning from this. The writer writes, "The fowler spreads his net, but the wings of the bird carry her into it. If you would not step into the harlot's house, you should not go by the harlot's door. If you would not gather the forbidden fruit, then beware how you look on the luscious tree. To pray against temptations and yet to rush into occasions to sin is to thrust your fingers into the fire and then pray they might not be burnt. If you hold the stirrup for him, no wonder if Satan gets into the saddle. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Matthew 26:41. "That man who is the most watchful is the least sinful. A soul without its watch is like a city without its wall, exposed to the attack of all its enemies. Those who would not fall into the river should beware how they approach too near to its banks. He who crushes the egg need not fear the biting of the serpent. He who would not drink of the wine of divine wrath, let him not touch the cup of sinful pleasure. A person who carries gunpowder with him can never stand too far from the fire. If we accompany sin 1 mile, it will compel us to go 2. Sin swells like Elijah's cloud from the size of a man's hand to such an expansion as to cover the whole sky. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." 1 Corinthians 10:12. "You will quickly lose your standing if you are fearless of falling." And now here's the message, one of which I made to Grant at that time. May God bless you as you listen. Hello, Brother Grant. This is Michael. I just received your email and I thought I had a little bit of time this evening and I might check a couple of emails. And brother, I want to tell you, I'm just really, really blessed when I receive emails like yours where somebody really wants to fully surrender and you're wrestling with it. That's good. It's not easy. It's not usually something that happens totally in 1 day. My particular surrender took 18 months of wrestling before I finally just said, "Lord, that's it. I can't do this anymore. I want to have all of you or none of you." And the Lord had stirred up some really tense feelings and stress in my heart and robbed me of that peace that I knew was available, that I wanted so much. So if you're not having that peace where the Bible says, "Let the peace of Christ rule and reign in your hearts," you're headed in the right direction by wanting to surrender all to Him. Now, regarding the basketball gift, all right, praise God that you have something you could sacrifice to Him, something valuable. We have a tendency to look at the talents and skills that we have, particularly those that can be used to glorify ourselves in the earthly realm, and think, "Wow, you know, God gave me these talents. Now, why in the world would He not have me use them?" So for me, brother, mine was not basketball. Mine was sales and sales training and motivational speaking. And people told me much of my life, man, this is exactly what you were designed to do. This is what God created you to do. So you can imagine when God began to challenge me to set it down, the arguments that took place in my heart of, well, hang on now. God, you gave me these talents. I actually journaled this. You know, Lord, you gave me these talents. Why would you now take this from me? From right now, my viewpoint looking back, I see that I had something valuable to sacrifice to God. I didn't bring God nothing. King David has altered a place to set up the tabernacle and build an altar and so forth and so on. And this gentleman offers to give him the property that he owns for free in order to do it. And David says, far be it from me. I will not give the Lord any sacrifice that doesn't cost me something. I won't give him anything. So I look back and I think, wow, I was able to give God my life's work, not just a talent, but the thing that I had used to make, you know, several million dollars worth of income through my sales training and, you know, I don't know, 20 years or so, a solid career making, you know, what the world considers a great income. And then it comes time for me to set it down and surrender it. Brother, it's the greatest thing I ever did. It was one of the hardest things I ever did. And the devil came and tempted me to look back many times. I have some stories I'm going to share about this in my book that I'm working on that are really perfect examples of what happens when you begin to try to make a sacrifice. I think it's Genesis 15:11. The birds of prey come to devour the sacrifice that Abraham is giving, and they'll do the same thing to you. You'll be haunted. The evil spirits will torment you. Your own flesh will fight it. But brother, here's a couple of things to think about. Things like basketball, okay? It's not an evil thing to play basketball until it becomes an idol in your heart and it takes you away from God's will and plan, or if it's something that you're doing that God's asked you to not do. Drinking a cup of water when God asks you not to do it is evil. You're rebelling against God, right? So there's nothing wrong with drinking a cup of water, but if you do it outside of God's time, outside of his way or against his will, that becomes evil. But when I look at these things that like basketball and football and baseball, I have to refer back to Luke 16:15. And I see that Jesus says the things that are highly valuable to men are detestable in God's eyes. So you can usually measure how things look to God by looking at how things look to man. Basketball is something that men go crazy over. Football, soccer, all these sports, right? Me, motocross, surfing. People go crazy over these things. The world loves these things. The Bible says don't love the world or anything in the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. James tells us, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity towards God? So it's a fine line, brother. I can't give you a black and white on something like this, but God can. God can tell you exactly how he feels about it. He knows exactly how, you know, you got involved in it. He knows how long you'll be involved in it. But what I saw with me is after I came to a business failure, and then I set about going, wow, now I'm free. My time is back available to me. I'm going to go now and build a new company around just my sales training, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to make this much money, and these are the talents God gave me, and I've spent about $100,000, maybe $80,000 to $100,000 in video production through my own company to create this product called Kickstart My Sales, which was an online sales training program that I created to sell to companies. It was an offshoot idea from where I had been building custom programs for companies. Now I was creating a generalized program that anybody could use. Okay. So while I did that, I put all this time and money into it. God began to frustrate my plans. Nothing worked out right. I was having problem after problem with the website. The guy who was having build the website, one obstacle after another. And I was really wrestling in my heart about, you know, getting rid of this and feeling like I was being called to do something that would last in the kingdom. And nothing, you know, in sales training is going to last in the kingdom. What am I doing? I'm helping people to lust after more money. And it's highly valuable in man's eyes. Men love sales. They love sales competitions. They love making more sales. They love closing the sale. They like getting the check. They like the pride that comes from being a top sales producer. So it's a very slippery slope. I'm not saying you can't be a Christian and be in sales, but if you're in that because you're driven by the money or driven by your competition or your pride or whatever, it's evil. And the Bible tells us don't be lovers of money, be content with what you had, keep your minds and hearts on things above. So when you start putting your mind and heart in something like basketball or sales training, naturally God looks down from heaven and sees you looking down. That's the problem with these things, brother, is that, you know, God didn't create basketball. Men did. Godless men created it. Now, I'm not saying you're godless. Please don't hear me say this wrong. But men create entertainment, and entertainment, as Leonard Ravenhill put it, is the devil's alternative for a genuine relationship with God. You may be really surprised to find that you can get to a place in your relationship with God where you actually despise and you care nothing more about basketball. You may think right now that's hard to believe. For me, it would have been motocross. I loved it. It's what saved me from the bullies when I was 13 years old. It gave me life. It was a savior to me from the bullies. When I was 13, I got my first dirt bike. I started doing things that grown men were afraid of doing. And it made me feel like a man. It made me feel valuable. It made me feel powerful. And it gave me some temporary, albeit very superficial, respect from some of the bullies and kids in school. So as an adult, I had very strong connections back to this motocross thing. This isn't just something that I was good at and a sport. And, you know, no, it had deeply rooted emotional ties to this thing for me. I had all kinds of father wounds in my heart. And I had a best friend who got me involved in this motocross who turns out to be my blood father. I mean, it's just a bizarre story. But I loved dirt bikes, loved motocross. I could spot a dirt bike in the back of a truck a half a mile away. And I eat, breathe, and sleep that motocross when I'm in this stage. And men love it. And there was guys who claimed to be Christians doing it, and they'd get up and win on the podium and say, oh, first thing I'd like to do is to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for doing this. And I have to tell you, when I look back on this now, I see what a contradiction this is. You're making millions of dollars riding a dirt bike, and you're going to give Jesus lip service on a podium. And yet the whole time you're doing this, you are drawing thousands and thousands of more people into this lifestyle that gets them to focus on this extreme sport that's real easy to break in their neck, or gets them involved in very carnal, fleshly desires and ambitions. We see it takes a while to begin to be able to discern these things and see what does it look like from God's perspective. You see? And so this is the thing, man. God began to frustrate my plans, and it sounds like he's doing that to you as well. And then I would get to the point where I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to set this down. And each time I started to try to set it down, I had, about three times, I had a manager call me just as I'm getting ready to walk away from this business. A manager called me one day and said, Mike, I just want to thank you for this sales training. I mean, brother, this is such good stuff. My guys are not only increasing their sales, but it's actually helping improve their life and their attitudes at work and their family life. See, that's what the devil knew I needed to hear, because I was wanting to get rid of the sales training, because I said, man, this is shallow. I'm just helping people to build, you know, a more materialistic life and a love of money. What am I doing that's going to last beyond the grave? Where is the work that I'm doing that will not spoil? Where is the work that will be tested by the fire and stand, that will not be burned up? And these calls would come in, and then I would shrink back and I'd go, well, maybe I'm supposed to still be doing this. See, it was the temptation to look back. When Elijah calls Elisha something really awesome, he burns all of his oxen, kills them, barbecues them, eats them, burns all of his carts and his farm equipment. He basically burns the bridges to his past life. And I had to do the same thing, brother. I have to tell you, the day came when I had to flush down the digital toilet beyond the recycling bin over $100,000 worth of video production that I did, not to mention the years worth of work in my life to accumulate all that knowledge and expertise in the area of sales training, such that people paid me hundreds of thousands of dollars for my sales training, brother. So, I mean, again, this is not something that I was hoping for or had aspirations of. In the year 2007, I earned over $250,000 in revenue for our company just for my sales training. Companies paid that much just for my sales training, not including the technology revenues. It was working. It was valuable. It was something I needed. It was something I had been, it felt like I was designed to do this. The truth is, I got so good at it, brother. I would put myself on a stage with any salesperson, any sales trainer, anywhere in the world. I got so good at it, it was dangerous. I got so confident, and I worked for the top sales trainer that's ever lived, a guy named Tom Hopkins. He was the number one real estate agent, record-breaking. Perhaps I think his record still stands today out of California, and he became a master sales trainer and wrote a book called How to Master the Art of Selling Anything. Well, I ended up going to work for this guy and being his top promoter, national sales trainer. And so I was immersed in this, had all these people telling me, this is what you're designed to do. But God had been telling me in my heart, Michael, you're making progress, but you're headed in the wrong direction, son. So God was then going to bring me to a point where He was going to ask me to sacrifice this gift and put it on the altar. And indeed, God took me from being in a very public realm, being honored, having my name put in the names with greats. I mean, brother, people were telling me I was going to be the next Zig Ziglar. I had people that would come out of my meetings that would tell me, Michael, you're better than Tony Robbins. I went to a Tony Robbins meeting and I just got more out of your meeting than I did going to a Tony Robbins event. So anyhow, I'm trying to tell you all this to help you understand. I know the feeling, but looking back on it, I thank God I had something valuable to place on the altar of God and present as a living sacrifice to God, Romans 12:1. And perhaps God will want you to do the same thing. Brother, basketball is cool to play around with. I know you're probably amazing at it and it's good, but there's nothing in basketball that's going to live beyond this earth. You see, there's nothing that's going to live beyond the earth. Now, if you had to do it as a job and you took it as a job and it was your job and it didn't violate your conscience, you know, that's something different. But it's not one of those sports that really fits into that. It's always about glamour. It's always about lusting after the things of the world. It's always about self-improvement, self-sufficiency, self-exaltation. It's all about self, self, self. You know, getting the limelight, making the next shot, being the guy, focusing on the paycheck, keeping up your reputation, doing stuff for the fans, signing this, worldly advertisement things that, you know, they want you to endorse and all that kind of stuff. And that's all very worldly. So I don't know how you could do basketball without, you know, being immersed into the worldliness of it. You know how many quote unquote Christian artists, music artists fall down the toilet because even though they've got the talent and even though, it seems like they were supposed to do it and even though they're using God's name. You know, I recently met a producer of some of the top videos for groups like Mercy Me. I met a producer who lives here in Huntsville, works in Nashville a few years ago, and his name's Joel. And I started asking Joel, what's going on, man, behind the scenes? He said, Mike, we run them through every 2 years. He said, there's only a couple of guys that'll make it that are the real deal. He said, the whole system is a machine. He said, we bring them in, and you'll see them come and go in 2 years. They fall apart and the machine, you know, they come in with all these hopes and the machine turns them into something they're not, turns their sound into something that they never wanted it to be. And it's all about the money. He said, don't be fooled. The Christian music business is just as much about the money as the rest of them are. And, you know, these people fall off. Now, what good does it do for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What a trap. I mean, that's Christian music. You know, and so how much more when you don't have people talking about Jesus all the time and everything's about the Lord and the Bible and the Word and hymns, how much more slippery is something like basketball
where you got the legacies of the Wilt Chamberlains in there, or the Magic Johnsons, or even the Michael Jordans. This is a very, very slippery slope, man. It's self-exaltation. Personally, me, I'd run from it. You know, I've had several opportunities. People have asked me to fly to various countries if I would come and speak for their church. And so far, the answer is no, I will not. I have no desire to be in the limelight. I don't care if I end up having 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. I like being behind the scenes doing exactly what God has asked me to do. I live my quiet little life, and I help as many people like you as I possibly can. I am no longer interested in going out and making a name for myself. I'm no longer interested in doing radio interviews or going on and being on TV. I just had somebody contact me telling me that they're trying to get me on TBN in the United Kingdom. And I didn't even reply to it. I'm just not interested. Because it's a slippery slope. And, you know, the devil wants to do everything he can to get me to take my eyes off of what is important and to begin to self-exalt, okay? So think about that. If I'm avoiding something that would bring the limelight and I'm in a full-time Christian ministry, how much more would it be wise to think about doing like something like that in basketball? Now, let me just tell you this. Brother, if God is asking you to set it down, he'll make it clear to you. It'll burn in your conscience. And perhaps God, if he's willing, and Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to give this brother some clear guidance about this, and that you would, as he really shows you he's interested in doing your will, Father, that you would speak to him. You're such a good, good Father. You counsel us. You watch over us. You guide us. You give us direction. Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. So I pray, God, if he's coming to you with a genuine reverence and fear and a desire to do your will, Father, I know and believe you're going to give him clear guidance. Grant, when it comes to surrendering or laying down your life, losing your life to find it, you see, basketball is your life. God very rarely will allow you to continue in that thing that you built. See, this is why Jesus said, anyone who comes to me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. So when you come with basketball and the Lord asks you to lay it down, if you choose to do so, you're choosing to deny yourself, and that's going to cost you something. Brother, what an amazing testimony it would be for you to take basketball and put it up on the altar of sacrifice and sacrifice. Do you know how much, I'm getting so excited in my heart. I know that's the Lord getting excited. Do you know how God is so pleased when somebody takes something so valuable to them that has potentially the means to be their only resource for making something good happen in their life, quote unquote good, and that person decides to trust God and sacrifice it and says, here, Lord, here's the most valuable thing I have and possess. Here's the thing that I've been counting on for my future, for my happiness, for my fulfillment, for my purpose, and for my income, God. Here it is. I give it to you. Wow. Wow, brother. What a blessing from, you know, God's perspective. You know, God is so pleased with stuff like that. You know, but when you don't have anything valuable to give to God, that's not pleasing to him. But you have something valuable, your life. That's why Jesus said, whoever loves his life will lose it, while whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So by you denying yourself, man, this is a very, very pleasing thing. Doesn't mean it's not painful. I mean, if you had to cut off any part of your body, it's going to feel pain. All right. That's one of the things that shows God you mean business. That's one of the things. I mean, brother, what could a man do to show God that he loves him any more than for that man to give the most valuable thing he has to his God, who gave him the most valuable thing he had, which was his son? Right? Think about that. So I want you to know, I mean, I'm really just proud of you for even thinking about it. I hope that the Lord gives you some clear guidance on this, but I just want you to know that I definitely could see where God would ask you if you're a true man of God. Brother, basketball could take you some places, but it can never take you to the places God can take you.
and it can't take you to heaven. It can't take you into fullness in Christ Jesus. It can't take you into a kingdom life filled with power. Brother, I'm telling you, there's nothing greater I have in my life. Let me just tell you this. I have a message on my phone that I just got today from a biker guy. Okay, like a tattooed up, been to prison, hang around with prison people, biker guy that I have been ministering to, who's been crying out to me, who's been so humbled by God, and he's been reaching out to me. And he shared a situation with me the other day, and I said, brother, here's what's going to happen. Today's message is, Mike, you're not going to believe this. The evil that you told me that was going to happen, it has happened. Brother, I'm living a life with kingdom power. Power from the kingdom of God. The matter of God, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power, the Bible says. And I used to think I had power in sales training to be able to move people to make a risky, costly decision and motivate them and encourage them and inspire them to make more sales. And I told myself all kinds of justifications on why what I was doing was such a good thing. I was totally deceived because I loved money. That was the truth. Okay? I never saw the kind of power. I never saw the kind of fulfillment, happiness, and peace and joy. I wouldn't give anything in trade. I mean, I would not take anything in trade for what I have with the Lord. You couldn't give me the whole world. Not all the people in the world as an audience for me. You couldn't give me all the money. Nothing would I take on trade. Praise be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for what I have now. I hope you'll be able to testify to that too one day. Brother, God bless you. May God be with you. May God grant you the peace and the abundant grace that you need to walk with him all the days of your life. And may God give you the wisdom and the grace to make the right decision. And brother, if you do this, you're going to need to study trusting God. Okay, and I've done a lot of messages on trusting God. I hope you'll go watch them. God bless you, brother. Bye-bye.